Amen. This morning I want to speak about prayer. And I'm speaking to a group of prayer warriors who certainly don't need any prodding to pray more, pray harder. I know that the intercession is very central to the life of this body and fellowship. But the Lord put something on my heart I think we need to open up to, because when prayer has been such a big part of our lives and our spiritual journey, sometimes we forget that there's always a deeper level we can move into of understanding of what prayer intercession is. There are deeper levels of expression that can come forth. Sometimes, because we do it so much, we don't realize where ritual will creep in and replace faith. We're used to saying things a certain way and doing things a certain way. I believe God wants to bring through the Spirit just a refreshing and open our understanding up to some new things about prayer.
Amen.
And it's going to be a refreshing in the Spirit to us. There's a difference between Old Covenant prayer and prayer or intercession, the New Covenant. The Old Covenant was people in this physical realm would ask, and if they asked with faith, believing in God, often we'd see divine intervention. The Israelites cried out to God for how many hundreds of years, and God heard their cry. The Old Testament, the Old Covenant, is filled with examples of God responding to human need and divinely manifesting his presence to take care of situations. Now, in the New Covenant, that continues. As long as there is human need, we need to ask and we need to see divine interventions. Last couple days, I know the world is praying for the horrible things that happened in Paris. But we need to understand that our stance in prayer is not defensive. Even though often we're reacting to things that have happened in the world or someone needs a healing and calling on God to bring an answer to a situation, in New Covenant light, we're on the offensive.
Amen.
Because of one thing, the Holy Spirit within us.
Amen.
Not only is God responding to human need, and look at the day right now today, I know there's a lot of people praying for the grieving people over in France. But also there needs to be intercession for God to destroy that spirit of hatred that fuels all this.
Right.
Along with all these things that are going on in the world, believe it or not, God is still in charge. I like whoever said, God is not taking a nap.
Yeah.
And in New Covenant light, as we come into understanding the role of the Holy Spirit in our lives, we realize that God has a plan that he's executing on the earth that men cannot touch. It doesn't matter what people think or do, God's going to get his will done. We are called to participate with, to believe for, and to express this divine plan of God. This is what I mean but when say we're on the offensive. So the New Covenant doesn't do away with God answering our prayers. Like Peter, if you're out drowning in the water, you don't need a sermon about faith, you don't need a sermon about water safety. You need, Lord, help me. You need a miracle, right? And as long as we have need, human need, we need to see the miracle power of God manifest. But the New Covenant adds a dimension to that in the Spirit, where prayer becomes more relational. It's not just us asking God for things. It's actually communion with the Father that goes on continually. Matthew 6:5. Jesus said, "When you pray, you're not to be as the hypocrites who love to pray to be seen by men." What a powerful, powerful statement. He's not saying don't pray in public. What he was getting at was the motivation. If anything we're doing by the power of the Spirit is to build a name for ourselves or to be seen and esteemed by other people, we're being hypocrites. I didn't come up with that. He did. So what God wants in a New Covenant light, we're to pray, But in that time of prayer, God is examining our motivations. And in the new covenant prayer, there's a pure motivation behind it. It's just not total human neediness crying out saying, God help here, God help there. But there's a motivation for God to get the glory. There's a motivation for God's will to be done behind the prayers. So he's saying, don't pray to be seen by men. When you pray, go into your inner room and shut your door. Pray to your Father who is in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you openly. He will reward you. Inner room. When you pray, go into inner room. And again, this is not talking about not praying together. We all need to find that inner room, that place in the Spirit, that upper room, where we can shut the door to all the distractions. We can shut the door to opinions, all the things that would try to come in, and we're just alone with the Lord. That's where we find that true spirit of intercession. Now, that can happen praying in a group. It can happen praying by yourself. That's a special spiritual sanctuary between you and the Lord. I like to describe it this way. In Matthew 11, 28, Jesus says, come to me, you who are weary and carry a heavy load, and I will give you rest. This inner room is not only a place where we pray, it's a place where we come to Jesus. No other agenda. And we find it's a place that he's able to do something for us. As we pray, he's able to take the load we're carrying off.
Amen.
And as we read on, he'll give us his load. What's the load we're carrying? Our thoughts, our anxiety, our fears, our opinions, our pride. It's all packed on. We can't even, half the time we're not even aware of the weight of it. But in this inner room, the special place, Jesus says, just come to me, I'll take it off you. When we let the Lord take off the burden that we've accumulated, we have rest. He goes on to say, take my yoke upon you and learn from me. When it's his yoke, and that's what the spirit of intercession is all about, what God is concerned about, we learn of him. It's a spirit of revelation. For I am gentle and humble in heart, and you shall find rest for your souls. Again, this inner room of intercession, these are things we don't often think about. It's not just, God, we need you to do these different things. It's a place of humility of heart. And when we have that, we find rest for our souls. We're always going to be troubled. We're always going to be striving. We're always going to be anxious apart from that humility in Christ. That's what brings that rest. And he says, my yoke is easy. What does he mean by that? I don't find the cross that easy. It's grace. My yoke is easy and light. What he's talking about is what he puts on our shoulders is the abundance of God's grace. Okay, that's that inner room. And that's where effective prayer comes from. He goes on to say, do not use meaningless repetition. Believe and you'll be heard for your many words. Your Father knows what you need before you ask him. Now, it seems to be some contradictions here. Jesus is saying, don't be repetitive. God knows what you need. Yet Matthew 7:7 says, ask, keep on asking. Seek, keep on seeking. Knock, keep on knocking. So there's something of persistence that the scriptures does talk about. What Jesus is getting at is motivation again. Don't use repetition because we're afraid that God can't take care of us. Often when we're repetitive, we're masking a fear. We really don't believe he's going to provide for us. So we turn to ritual. We keep asking the same things over and over and over and over again, trying to convince ourselves that we really believe God cares.
Amen.
What Jesus was saying is your Father knows what you need, so know in your heart that he's going to take care of you. Then ask. Then it's not vain repetition. So then we can be persistent in our heart. When you know that God's going to give you the answer,
that's right. Yeah.
then you persist. You hold on to the promised. Okay. New covenant prayer is an operation of the Holy Spirit. We're involved with it, but we speak with full dependence on the Spirit to express God's will. It's a prayer of listening and a prayer of speaking. Often we don't think of prayer as being something silent. But prayer is a communion with the Father. Sometimes we're speaking the Word of God. That's prayer. Sometimes it's just waiting before Him in silence, listening to Him. That's also prayer. If we speak without hearing what He's speaking, our words are empty. If upon hearing what He's speaking, we don't give voice to it, our hearing gets dulled. So we need both. In Romans 10:10, it says, with the heart one believes, and with the mouth is confession made. Also, the Spirit within us intercedes, and we're not even aware of it. You know that scripture in Thessalonians 5, 1 Thessalonians 5:17, pray without ceasing? Isn't that a lovely verse? I'm being sarcastic. Who can do that? I mean, you're going to die. Nobody can pray 24 hours a day. Pray without ceasing only makes sense in New Covenant light that it's the Holy Spirit in us making intercession. Amen. I mean, if you think you got enough willpower and strength to pray 24 hours a day, you're not going to last too long. So in Romans 8:26, it says, the Spirit helps our weakness, for we do not know how to pray as we should. The Spirit intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words. The Spirit intercedes. Now, we're all going to continue to pray and give voice to the Word of God. But in New Covenant, what's that added dimension? Even when I'm not giving voice to something, the Holy Spirit is interceding within me. He intercedes for the saints according to the will of God. The Holy Spirit in you is interceding according to what God wants for your life. It's not just your effort or your willpower. We're involved with the process, but it takes that load off. We need to get to know the Holy Spirit within us. The more aware we are of the Spirit within us, then that scripture begins to make sense. Pray without ceasing. Wrote Hebrews 7:25, talking about Jesus. He lives to make intercession for them. The Lord is always on the throne interceding for us. All this spiritual activity is going on, and we need to become aware of it. As we become aware of the Holy Spirit and all that intercession, it makes us effective as we voice the prayers that we voice. Because they're not coming from us. We're not just reacting to a world that's filled with evil. We're not reacting with fear. We're acting by the power of the Holy Spirit, knowing that God's word is going to prevail. All right, I want to finish this with the Lord's Prayer. I think that's a good one to look at as far as what prayer is all about. And we're looking at Luke, and I'm going to give the Orthodox version. Do you know what the Orthodox version is? Normally we make the Lord's Prayer, we'll add that last verse, and they say that's controversial whether that was added later. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever and ever. We all know that's true. Whether it was added later or not, doesn't matter. That's what it's all about. But we're going to Luke chapter 11, verse 1, because the disciples were asking Jesus, teach us to pray. I think we need to ask that. You, prayer warriors, who pray all the time, we need to have that open, humble heart that says, Lord, teach us by the Spirit how to really be effective intercessors. Here's what he says. This is the version from Luke. Father, hallowed be thy name. All prayer starts with an attitude of worship. It doesn't mean we have to sing songs before we pray. It means we come into his gates with thanksgiving, with that attitude of worship. Our Father who art in heaven, We recognize there's that reverence in our heart. That's the atmosphere of prayer. Thy kingdom come. Simple statement. God's agenda before ours. All these needs we have, we need to address them. But first, thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. In the Message Bible, it says, reveal who you are. That atmosphere of just, Father, be present. Reveal your heart's intent. Give us each day our daily bread. Here's, we're expressing our needs. Staying present with him. God provides. He knows what we need. Give voice to that, believing. Forgive us our sin, for we forgive others. This is important. Part of intercession too. Becoming aware of the blood of Christ that has forgiven us. We have total forgiveness. And in an atmosphere of prayer, we can let go of a lot of things we're holding on to, maybe against other people. It's an atmosphere that dissipates and destroys criticism, the judgmental spirit, gossip, all these negative things that rob us of the awareness of the oneness that we have in Christ. New covenant, we can forgive others because we know we have been forgiven. And I love that verse in Ephesians 4:32. Forgiving each other just as God in Christ has forgiven you. This is part of our intercession. Forgiveness. The one last line is, lead us not into temptation. Kind of a strange way to end a prayer, but it's very powerful. We're asking God to lead us by the Holy Spirit. We're going one way or the other. It's like we're on roller skates, and you're on a slant, and you're going to go one way or the other. Either our lives slide into temptation, which means we're affected by what the enemy's doing, his thinking, the fears that are in the world, the spirit of the age, or we're sliding the other way into God's presence. The Holy Spirit is given what? To lead us into all truth. So when Jesus said, lead us not into temptation, the cry as we're interceding is, God, continue by your Holy Spirit to lead us into truth. Jesus said, I've come to destroy the works of the devil. Light has come to destroy the darkness. In the Message Bible, it says, keep us safe from ourselves and the devil. I like that. Temptation is not just out there, it's also within us. But prayer activates the Holy Spirit in us, leading us constantly into the truth of who the Lord is. To be in a place of intercession is to be in an atmosphere of constantly coming to know who the Lord is in a deeper and deeper way. That's what we're looking for. Amen. Amen. Lord, bless the word to our hearts this morning.